You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We do have the pastor on the line, as per usual. It's time for our Ask a Pastor segment. Remember, the segment is dedicated to you. If you have any questions, please send those questions to us, and my producer will make a point of finding you a pastor who will answer your question. And my job is to make sure that whatever question that you have sent, I try and ask it from different angles so that the pastor can be able to answer it as best as he can. Our pastor for this week is Pastor Justice Mongwe, giving us some perspective, some insights, some understanding. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome back. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon and to you and to your listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today is, how do you reconcile the idea of predestination with personal accountability?
I would start by saying that there are various ways of looking at predestination.
Okay.
But what we know from the onset will be that God has given all of us a power of choice. And because we have been given a power of choice, we should take accountability for our choices and actions.
So just define these two concepts, because the person appears to be suggesting that one is dissimilar. It's not the same as the other, like they're different things. Perhaps define them for us. Teach us what exactly is predestination, and then what exactly is personal accountability.
There are people who understand the concept of predestination as God having predetermined who he would want to save and give eternal life to, and they say he has also predetermined who will be lost, and that our personal choices have no bearing on our destiny. But so it's predetermined, hence predestination. Our destiny is predetermined. But then that goes against the grain of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's start with the basic one. John 3:16.
Right.
For God so loved the world, right, and this is referring to the human beings in the world.
Okay.
And we do not see any condition or any exclusion there. And then it goes on to say, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish.
Right.
So the locus of the choice of our destiny is in us. It's not resting with God. God has, if we were to talk, apply the term predestination here, we would then say God has predetermined and provisioned also beforehand that everybody or anyone whosoever will may be saved. But he gives us the choice to go against that predestination or that predetermination that is anchored on his provision for salvation for anyone who will believe.
Come with me, Mfundisi, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I suppose you know exactly why I'm going to Romans, chapter 8. We are going to read from verse 28, 29, and verse 20, and verse 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, and 30. It reads as follows: And we know that God works all things together for the good of those whom love him, who are called according to his purpose. So for that verse, it seems to be selecting only those who love him. And then it goes on to the issue of our conversation today. Verse 29. For those, God, those who love him, God foreknew. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So these people did not choose.
Yes.
They didn't choose. He knew that these people, I'm going to make sure that they are going to
feel better about myself.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And then verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called, like yourselves who are called. Those he called, he also justified. So you were called and justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. It goes on and on and on and on. So this has caused much contention in amongst the circles of us lay people. So you learned people can teach us what exactly is Paul saying to the Romans here. Because it seems as though God selected a group that he is going to take through this process. It's not everybody.
I must just warn us, take Peter's warning about Paul's writing.
Yes.
Peter writes, that chap writes things that confounds many people.
They're difficult to understand. Yes.
Yes. And those were contemporaries. I mean, Peter could walk up to Paul and say, hey, Muna, what were you saying here? Then those of us who leave this site, we do not have that privilege.
Right.
Look, I think the most difficult thing here for the human mind is to understand foreknowledge without predetermining.
Okay.
It boggles our mind that God can foreknow something without willing it.
Okay.
So, and this has been the struggles of theologians and biblical scholars from the time of Reformation.
Right.
Up to today, it's difficult for our small brains to process foreknowledge without forewilling.
Okay.
Or predetermining. So what the best principle to use when we find a difficult or a confusing text is to check what else does the Bible say about salvation, for instance.
Okay.
Then for me, then when I come back, I've just made reference to John 3:16, where we should all start. But let me read Peter's writing as well.
Okay.
2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness,
right,
but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Right.
So in terms of God's will for Peter says towards you, and which is we attribute this to ourselves as well, God's will or wish towards us is that we should not perish.
Right.
Just like John 3:16 would say the same. And provision for not perishing has been made for everybody. Now, the first portion of the text you read in Romans talks about how God works things out to come together for the good of them that love him.
Right.
Those that choose to love God, or those that love God, rather, chose to love him.
Right.
He has chosen all of us, but we can choose to be out of it. Just like we can will our way out of his provision for salvation.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's how I would look at it. Then it says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined. In other words, those whom he knew and he knows everything before it happens. In the book of Isaiah, he says he declares things before they are. That's Isaiah 46, verse 10. So when he foreknows us, when he foreknows our choices, he then predestines us. Our destiny becomes sealed because he's aware of all the sequence of choices we will be making in response to his provision for all.
Okay.
That foreknowledge, it's a bit interesting to me, and I can't wrap my head around it. But think about it this way. It says, the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
For me, I'll juxtapose that with the story of predestination, foreknowing and predestining. He provided for our falling and our rescue in that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation. In other words, even before the temptation, God knew what was going to happen. And one more time, that is stretching our mind very far, and it causes other questions to arise, of course.
Yes.
Why did he create us if he knew we were going to fall?
Absolutely.
His provisions are sufficient. That's the good news for me. And any one of us can choose salvation, and he will immediately embrace us for eternity, for eternal life in him.
I'm glad, Mfundisi, that you preempted that question, because I was waiting patiently to hear you address it, and you addressed it before I even asked it. Just expound a bit on it, because Mfundisi, it says those who love him, right? And if we are talking about the choice that people will make to love him, and I'm okay with that, why would he put in a proclivity in a person to not love? Why would he put a person that thing that would not choose him?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those things that are a mystery. But look, the thinking around this, many Bible scholars and theologians say, without a freedom of choice that is unlimited, then we couldn't possibly genuinely love him if we cannot choose not to love him.
Right.
And his love for us gives us all that free will, so that our love for him can be truly by choice. We should have the freedom to not love him.
That's the thing, Mfundisi. That's where the problem lies, because we are taught by yourselves as ministers that in and by ourselves we cannot love. We don't have love in us. It is him who inhabits us,
yep,
and he teaches us, and you know, he engineers us to love, which means when people love, they love because they have been given love by God, and those who don't love is because they have not been given love by God, which then falls the domino on the issue that we're talking about today. Those who have been able to love Christ, It's because he made them love them. And those who don't is because he didn't make them love.
I think that is a huge distortion.
Okay, clarify it, clarify
it. I'll tell you why I think so.
Okay, okay.
I'm inviting trouble to myself. You might just take it back to me. Look, he makes it possible. He has made it possible for anyone and everyone to can choose to love him,
okay.
To can choose to accept his love.
Right.
And it is true that we cannot of ourselves love or have faith. He's the one who actuates that. But we have the choice to refuse that actuation. I always like to think of the so-called prodigal son. When he's out there, the Bible says when he came to his senses. I want to think that Jesus tells that parable to illustrate the working of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So when he got convicted where he was and allowed himself to be convicted, he makes his way back home.
Right.
Because of what he knows about the Father.
Right.
And the Father's home. But if you look carefully, you realize that when he gets home, he still has got the whole thing twisted out.
Right.
In the sense that he says, I will say to my father, I have sinned. And I almost said, and come short of your glory. Yes. I'm no longer worthy.
Yeah.
No worthy to be called your son. Let me work.
Right.
If we apply it to Christian living, he is saying, I have messed up.
Right.
By my choices. And I'm not worthy to be your son. So let me end
right.
my way through going forward.
Right.
No longer in a relationship platform, but on an employer-employee platform.
Right.
And the father rejects that.
Okay.
He embraces him as a son, put a ring on him, and of course he covers him. And that's how we get saved.
Right.
I'm saying we get saved almost in spite of ourselves in terms of choices. But God leads us through. He begins it by speaking to our spirit. If we choose to respond to the conviction that is being ministered to us by the Holy Ghost, he takes us through with our imperfections and justified by his grace. As the text you read in Romans would say, he justifies us. He's the one who does the justification.
Mm.
And that justification and sanctification, I don't like using these terms. The growing in Christ, growing as a child of God, that development, it's continuously the gift of God. He's the one who nurses us until we mature.
Right.
And in the meantime, before we mature, if we ever mature, we are fully covered by the blood of Jesus. And before the Father, we appear as good as the his son Jesus Christ would look like. Consider the boy that was hung alongside Jesus on the cross.
Right.
Before he could do any performatives, he's assured of eternal life in the kingdom of God,
right.
Just because of the confession
right.
that he made to Christ. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to leave it there for this. We're going to leave it there because there's a lot now that I'm curious about. You have opened my mind to other avenues, and I appreciate that, but I cannot keep you here forever. We have covenanted and contracted to keep you just for a short space of time, and our time is up. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk again tomorrow, same time, same place.
I thank you for having me. Have a great day, Father.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.